Welcome to the Anzac Day edition of the VK7 Amateur Radio News for the 26th day of April 2026, your gateway to what's happening across the airwaves in Tasmania and beyond. Coming to you from the Tasmanian Amateur Radio News Desk is Justin, VK7 Tango Whiskey, and with the latest updates, stories and insights from our amateur radio community. We are broadcasting far and wide thanks to our dedicated team, DMR Talk Group 5 and D-Star Reflector 91C via the digital group, and MF and HF relays on 1.860 MHz any takers, 3.670 MHz any takers, 7.140 MHz Ross VK7 ALH, 14130 by Gary VK7 JGD, and 28525 by Tony VK7 VKT. And locally in Hobart on UHF CB24 and HF CB24 with Mark VK7 FMAC. Did you miss it live? Well, catch the replay Tuesday 8 p.m. on repeaters VK7 RAA in the north, the VK7 RHT and UHF CB24 and HF CB24 in the south. Stay tuned and enjoy the news. And we start today with Worldwide Flora and Fauna SOTA POTA IOTA Weekly Wrap-Up. Well, with the growth of technology, there are now some excellent tools available for logging contacts while operating portable. While manual, which is paper logging, is still used, mobile apps can streamline the process and make logging much easier. There are many logging apps available, but the two of the most popular for VKFF SOTA and POTA activations are HAM-RS and HAM-2K Polo. Both are multi-platform applications that allow you to log contacts on the go. At the end of the activation, you can quickly generate an ADIF file and upload your log with minimal effort. I highly recommend giving these apps a try for your next activation. And Al VK7AN and Peter VK7ZPE activated the Trevellan Nature Recreation Area, located not too far from the Launceston CBD. They were spotted operating on the 40-metre band. David VK7DBX returned to Cape Dislax Nature Park after experiencing antenna issues earlier in the week. Located near Clifton Beach, Cape Dislax Nature Park is an area of significance due to its resident colony of short-tailed shearwater, Tasmanian mutton birds. Well, David also operated on the 40-metre band. Lance VK7 Tango Oscar was calling CQ from Florentine Peak using his CW key at the time of writing this wrap-up, and I'll report back next week on how this activation went. Do you have a favourite logging program that you like to use? Well, if so, feel free to drop Matt an email and let him know. And that's 73 from Matt, VK7MAT. Statewide SSTV nights, a busy net night that saw the following participants: VK7's ZGK, ZAB, AX, KT, OO and TW all sharing 65 photos, and the main themes were iconic scenery at Dove Lake and the Central Highlands, seaplane tours and murals at the Hobart waterfront, the 50th anniversary of Led Zeppelin's Presence album, the 50th anniversary of Jethro Tull's Too Old to Rock and Roll and Too Old to Die album, and a radio communications checkpoint at a recent horse ride at Sassafras, and birds in a tree. Well, other highlights included a homemade UHF quadrophilia helix antenna for satellite SSTV broadcasts, the Simplex Auto Care that featured on the last WEGS broadcast, white smoke for a new Apple CEO, motor racing heroes, using AI is like modern-day witchcraft practice, basic human decency, irony, and things I hate, and 73 for Anzac Day and Lest We Forget. Again, Tony VK7AX interconnected VK7RJG to his SSTV International Gateway, and VK7's exchanged photos with PA3GFY, PD0KOK, PD9BTB, PD1NSR, and PC1K in the Netherlands, and DJ0ZK and DB0BEN in Germany. Please remember to leave a 30-second break between transmissions to allow the European countries a chance to send photos. And note Ken VK7KRJ's and Steve VK7OO's fully automatic 24/7 monitoring sites that allow everyone testing to send a picture and the ability to check their transmissions on these pages almost immediately, anytime, both South and North Tasmania. If you missed the net, then there are archives of the SSTV nights on Ken and Steve's websites or on the NTARC website under blogs, and that's 73 from Andre, VK7ZAB. Tassie Hamicon Radio Conference, preliminary program released. Well, the theme for the Tassie Hamicon 2026 is Hack the Ether, Education, Ingenuity, Connection. A nod to the experimental DNA of amateur radio, where learning meets invention and curiosity drives everything forward. This year's conference is all about the moving beyond a nostalgia and building what comes next. It builds together amateurs, experimenters, educators, storytellers for a fully catered weekend of practical learning, creative collaboration, and interest that actually goes somewhere. The program is built around four key streams. Hack the Mind, which is exploring education and learning futures. Hack the System, driving into ingenuity and experimentation. Hack the Culture, focusing on engagement and connection, and Hack the Future, which is tackling leadership and purpose. The preliminary program is already online, with bookings being taken very soon. It all happens Saturday the 7th and Sunday the 8th of November 2026 at the Sir Stanley Burberry Theatre at UTAS Sandy Bay, with pre- and post-conference events in the works. Keep an eye on the website for more details roll out, and that's 73 from the conference organising group. And QSL News, the Inwards QSL Bureau information, and the current updated list of QSL cards held by the VK7 Inwards Bureau as at the 4th of April 2026 is in the email version of the broadcast. Herman has been asked a few times about sending out QSL cards. It is up to each amateur to send out their personal QSL cards, and you can only use the WIA Outwards Bureau service if you are a financial member of the WIA. Your cards must be sorted alphabetically by DXCC country order and sent to the manager and of the Outwards Bureau, P.O. Box 66, Boolaroo, of New South Wales 2284. Any questions, please email to westyh, all one word, at ozemail.com.au, and that's 73 from Herman, VK7 Hotel Whiskey, the manager of the VK7 Inwards QSL Bureau. And news from the north, SOTA, WWFF Parks Group and the Summits on the Air Worldwide Flora and Fauna Parks Group meets twice weekly, Mondays and Fridays, 10:30 a.m. till 12 noon at the Glebe Gardens Cafe, Henry Street, Launceston. And for more information, contact Al on 0417 354 410, and that's 73 from Al, VK7 Alpha Nancy. And you are listening to VK7 Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And Northern Tasmanian Amateur Radio Club Incorporated. And for a bit more of our Wednesday technical night last week, Ross VK7ALH brought in a Kodan 8128 Marine HF transceiver for show and tell. Designed for operations from 2 to 13 MHz, the unit supports up to 10 fixed frequencies, each assigned to one of the 10 front panel rotary selectable switches. The operating frequencies are set by installing the appropriate crystals into the internal socket bank. The radio can run from either 12 or 24 volts DC supplies, with positive or negative grounding, helping to minimise electrolysis issues on vessels. Reliability was clearly a major design focus, with thick film construction, flow-soldered boards and fully laced internal wiring looms. Seeing that beautiful cable lacing again certainly brought back some strong memories of the old days, hi-hi. Transmit power is rated at 15 watts average on AM and 60 watts PEP on single sideband. Physically, the unit measures 280mm wide by 140mm high by 212mm deep and weighs just over 3.5 kilograms. The case is finished in a matte silverish grey, while the front panel is matte black with clear white lettering. The all-alloy corrosion-resistant construction certainly reflects its marine heritage. And the front panel layout is simple and uncluttered, with well-spaced controls, an inbuilt antenna matching section makes tuning straightforward. According to the front panel instructions, all the operator has to do is, quote, adjust for maximum transmit lamp brightness, unquote. Can't get much simpler than that. The microphone is captive or no connector or deliberate choice to avoid problems with plugs and sockets in harsh marine environments, and Kodan even included a forward-facing speaker for improved audio clarity. These sets were widely sold throughout Australia and New Zealand from the 1970s onwards. This particular example was in immaculate condition, both inside and out, leading one to wonder whether it actually ever went to sea. Colin VK7ZCF had been busy with his 3D printer again, this time starting work on a rather substantial roller inductor. He printed both end cheeks, think sturdy bookends, and you'll be close. These are spaced apart by four long brass rods with tapped ends, bolted through the cheeks to hold the assembly together with impressive rigidity. Running axially through the centre is a much heavier brass axle, and mounted on that is a large 3D printed coil former, all ready to take the wire. Not bad for the prototype, it's definitely taking shape, and we're all looking forward to seeing the next iteration, hopefully at the next Tech Night. While we were still on the subject of 3D printing, Stuart VK7ES shared some of his recent experiments with the latest release of FreeCAD version 1.1. Interestingly, some of the drawings he'd created in the newer version threw errors when opened in the club's older 1.0 installation. That was all the excuse we needed to install the latest version on the club's workhorse computer, and before long we were exploring several of Stuart's designs in the updated environment. FreeCAD certainly presents a steep learning curve, so if you're starting from scratch, as Stuart was, you may as well dive straight into the latest version. Stuart then walked us through some of the newer features and how he'd configured the workbenches and tools to suit his workflow. One example he showed was a generic enclosure with a detachable bolt-on lid. The enclosure itself was nothing unusual, but the clever part was his use of FreeCAD built-in spreadsheet. Stuart had preloaded the spreadsheet with all the formulas that drove this modelling. Now simply enter the desired side lengths into the relevant cells, and the enclosure updates automatically. The formulas calculate all the new proportional dimensions, fillets, support, pillar shapes and sizes, strengthening ribs, radii and wall thicknesses. Do all that manually would require a fair bit of CAD editing, but the spreadsheet implementing all of the changes, just type in the new dimensions and you're good to go. Stuart's next planned improvement is to add an interlocking raised and trenched lip around the opening to take a weatherproof seal ring for the lid. We're looking forward to seeing that in the next iteration. Maybe even the sealing ring can be printed using some of their new soft filaments. As usual, the pictures will be available on the NTARC website under blogs for this broadcast. Up-and-coming events, on-air test and technical net sessions. Each Wednesday night, testnet and CW course on 3.580 MHz. From 7 p.m, then a technical net on 3.567 MHz. From 7:30 p.m. until 8:30 p.m. And your host for the evening is Nick, VK7 Whiskey Whiskey. Club Room's technical night, the next session will be this Wednesday, the 29th of April, and will commence at the usual time of 6:30 p.m. in the Club Room's Archer Street, Rochalie. Coffee mornings held every Friday in the NTARC Club Rooms. Time is from 10 a.m. until noon. And finally, if you have any items of news, email them to the secretary at the following address, news@ntarc.net, and all items to be received no later than 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the broadcast. That's all, folks. 73 from Stefan, VK7ZSB, the secretary of NTARC, Inc. And news from the South, the Radio and Electronics Association of Southern Tasmania, and the Wednesday Experimenters Group, or the WEGS. Last Wednesday in the studio, Steve VK700 and Justin VK7TW showcased a wonderment of Australian ingenuity and manufacturing skill. The Australian-made Simplex Auto Kia, which is a semi-automatic Kia. Steve bought a Model 9 and Justin bought in a Model 8 from around the 1930s, 40s. We went through the history and the key's creator, Leo G. Cohen, who started with the PMG and moved up through to become a senior telegraphist and then enlisted in the Army in World War II. These Auto Kias were found in most post and railway offices from around 1923. Semi-automatic means that the mechanism creates multiple dots and the operator creates the dashes. The company offered four different types of keys, and a great source of information about the Simplex Auto Kias can be found on the Ron McMullen website, and there is a link in the email edition of the broadcast. Steve's Auto Kia comes from the Sydney GPO where his father worked, and Steve took us through the story of how he ended up with the Kia. Thanks, Steve. We then took a look at the recently released ITU Handbook on Amateur and Amateur Satellite Services, edition of 2026. We took the top off and had a quick look at the prototype of the new VK7 broadcast playout automation box using an SA818 transceiver module, then skipped over to the Australian Space Weather Report and into future events and activities. Wednesday evenings kick off early with members drifting in from about 6 p.m., many armed with takeaway containers or home-cooked dinners. And this coming Wednesday night will be a more in-depth look at the broadcast playout box, the latest Jubis and AR magazine, some interesting 3D plots of the aircraft scatter that Rex VK7MO has been doing, and much more. The DATV studio broadcast begins at 7:30 p.m. and goes out live on the Reist YouTube channel. Around it unfolds the usual controlled chaos, lively debate, hands-on experimenting, gear tinkering, coffee consumption at industrial scale, and hatching of elaborate cunning plans, and the kind of wide-ranging amateur radio mischief and global problem-solving that somehow only ever truly makes sense inside the clubrooms. See you there on the stream, 73, from yours truly, Justin, VK7, a Tango Whiskey. And the May presentation, Technorama and Tour. What is Technorama, I hear you ask? Well, the vision for Technorama is that it becomes the focal point which brings technologists together and supports their efforts. The objects for Technorama is to further the education and development of technologists within the community broadcasting sector and to provide opportunities for interactions like conferences, seminars and events in support of these aims. What does this have to do with amateur radio? Well, I'm glad you asked. The skill set of technologists in the community radio sector is a mix of IT and RF engineering. Guess what? It matches the skill set of amateur radio operators really well. We are gathering for the night at the Howrah Community Centre for a short presentation on Technorama by John Mazels, VK4APM, via Zoom. Then we will be taken on a guided tour through the brand spanking new Hobart FM community radio station by community radio engineer guru Jim Parrish. This should be a fascinating night showcasing community radio technology and support. Wednesday the 6th of May at the Howrah Community Centre, which is 11 Howrah Road, Howrah, and park in the Southern Car Park, closest the river, and it starts at 7 p.m. And please note, it starts at 7 p.m, not 7:30. There is nothing at the Queen's Domain Clubrooms that night. See you there for a fascinating night, 73, from the Reist Committee. And you are listening to VK7, a Whiskey India, and this is the VK7 Amateur Radio News Broadcast. And May Forum Night, our new band plans. Wednesday, May 13th from 7:30 p.m, it's Reist's Forum Night, and it's time we were diving into the new band plans. With recent changes affecting where and how we operate, this is your chance to get across what's shifted, what's new, and what is actually means on the air. Whether you're into digital modes, voice, CW, understanding the band plan is key to staying active and effective and compliant and not accidentally annoying half the band. Join us in person at the Queen's Domain Clubrooms or catch the session streamed live as we walk through the major updates, highlight where different modes now sit, and help you make sense of the changes. If you've been wondering where to operate or just want to avoid becoming that station, this is the night worth showing up for. 73 from the Reist Committee. And technology news, how thousands of tiny dots could save first responders' lives. This article explains a critical problem in emergency response, namely tracking personnel inside buildings where GPS simply doesn't work. In complex environments like high-rise buildings or underground structures, incident commanders have no reliable way to locate firefighters or responders in real time, creating serious safety risks. To address this, the US National Institute of Standards and Technology researchers have developed the First Responder Smart Tracking Challenge, aimed at creating wearable devices capable of accurately tracking responders indoors. These devices must be rugged, easy to use, and able to communicate location data to a command center while operating in harsh environments like fire or disaster zones. A key innovation in testing these systems is the use of thousands of precision mapped dots across a large facility. These reference points act as a ground truth for measuring accuracy, allowing developers to compare estimated positions against known locations. Teams are tested in realistic mission-style scenarios, navigating buildings and identifying hundreds of these points to validate how well their tracking technology performs. The broader outcome is the development of reliable indoor positioning technologies that could significantly improve situational awareness and safety for first responders. While the formal challenge is winding down, Ongoing research and collaboration aim to turn these prototypes into practical tools, helping ensure emergency personnel can be located quickly and safely when it matters most. And that was written by Gary Howarth from NIST and sourced from the Critical Comms Web eZine and summarised by Arthur Inglis. Space weather news. Tis the season for blue auroras. Blue auroras are very rare. Even veteran aurora chasers with years of Arctic experience have seldom seen them. Yet, there is a time of year when they become easier to find, and that time is now. Quote, last night a blue aurora appeared overhead, reports Ger T. Birklandøy from Orsta in Norway. Less than 200 miles south of the Arctic Circle, this is a sight we don't often see. Auroras are mostly always red and green, colours produced by oxygen during solar storms, but blue, on the other hand, is a sign of nitrogen. The colour is produced by ionised nitrogen molecules at the top of the Earth's atmosphere. The problem is that there are very few N2 plus ions up there, and the feeble blue, they admit, is practically invisible. For blue auroras to reach naked eye visibility, something has to amplify the light. The amplification process is called resonance scattering, and this has definitely happened on April the 21st. During the display, our Arctic sun was barely below the horizon, perfectly positioned to illuminate the nitrogen zone. And this is nitrogen's ions floating 200 kilometres above the ground, absorbed and re-emitted sunlight, transforming a faint blue at 427.8 nanometres emission into a visible brilliant glow. At this time of year, astronomical darkness does not occur in Norway, and the sun remains higher than about minus 13 degrees. This creates a seasonal window where the upper atmosphere remains sunlit while the ground-level sky is still dark enough for auroras to be visible. That combination is ideal for enhanced N2 plus emissions through resonance scattering. That was sourced from the Space Weather website on the 21st of April 2026 and regular VK7 gatherings and events over the coming months. And the events are Reached to the 6th of May, Technorama presentation and tour of Hobart FM Community Radio Station, Howrah Community Centre at 7 p.m. Reece, 13th of May, Forum Night, new band plans, Queen's Domain Club Rooms from 7:30 p.m. and streamed. And at VK, 7th and 8th of November is the Tassie Hammercon Amateur Radio Conference, UTAS Sandy Bay. And a reminder to those people rostered for next week's broadcast, the newsreader VK7ZIR. Repeaters Reece, NTARC and in the Northwest, thanks to NWTARC, WCRG, NWCRRA, VK7, AXJH and DC, 160 metres, any takers, 80 metres, VK7, JGD, 40 and 20 metres, any takers, and 10 metres, VK7, ALH. UHF CB24 and HF CB24, VK7, FMAC, DMR Talk Group 5, and D-Star Reflector 91C, the digital group. A big thank you to everyone who contributed to and supported this week's broadcast of the VK7 Amateur Radio News. That's it for this week. If you've missed the live transmission, remember you can always catch the rebroadcast Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on VK7RAA in the North, VK7RHT and UHF CB24 and HF CB24 in the South. Got news, stories or updates to share? We'd love to hear from you. Send them to VK7ARNews, all one word, at gmail.com. by Friday 9 p.m. You can also join the conversation on our VK7 Amateur Radio News Groups.io page. Stay tuned now for the callbacks on the frequency with each relay station using their own call sign. On behalf of the VK7 News team, this is Justin, VK7 at Tangled Whiskers, wishing you good DX and a great week ahead.